Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay. It was my birthday yesterday. I had a lovely birthday. Thanks to the drifters who got in touch with me to say happy birthday. And I can only imagine, because I've mentioned on any number of occasions that I share a birthday with the former Führer, Hitler, that they must have read somewhere that it was like Hitler was born on this day in history and thought, oh, isn't it Jeff Lloyd's birthday as well? And then subsequently sent me a little tweet or something, because I don't think it comes up on the Drifter Facebook page thing or on the Facebook page thing that people can see. Mm. On my real life Facebook, which is hidden from view, it's just sort of friends and family, I have got it set so that people know it's my birthday. Mm. And I get loads of good wishes on there.
Do you? Because my birthday was in March, and it was only like a few weeks later I thought, oh, I wonder if anyone wished me happy birthday on Facebook. And I had a look and it was four people.
Oh, no.
That's quite low, isn't it?
How many Facebook friends have you got? Five?
I don't know. I don't really go on here. Like maybe 200, 300. I don't know.
I just think it's something, like, I don't really like Facebook, but it's just something to do. I've said before, I feel like I'm constantly on a little circuit of the internet. and that's one of the places where I stop off.
That's one of your circuits. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. I don't particularly like it there, but I stop off there anyway. Mm. But I've made a list of all the people who didn't wish me happy birthday, and I'm going to call them.
Oh, brilliant. Good. Yeah. Quite right.
It is nice when people write on, I don't know if it's called your wall anymore, but they write on your wall or your profile page, and then, you know, you've got the option to just like it. You can do a little thumbs up or a love heart or whatever. You don't have to write anything back. You can just like it, and you can show that you appreciate them being thoughtful enough to wish you happy birthday. A few people, though, sent me direct messages on Facebook wishing me happy birthday.
Ah, so then you feel you have to reply to
yes!
it.
Yes! Oh. It's quite annoying. Sort of ruin my birthday. I don't want to be spending my birthday replying to people.
Maybe that's where all my messages are. I should check that bit, shouldn't
I? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look now.
Can I tell people what you did for my birthday? It was so lovely, Annabelle.
Yeah, oh yeah, please do, because it makes me look like a great friend.
You're so thoughtful. So because of lockdown, obviously we couldn't see each other. Mm. So Annabelle baked a cake and then iced happy birthday Jeff on the top of it with icing sugar. Mm. And then you did a FaceTime, you lit a candle and you got me to blow the candle out over FaceTime.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, what a great friend I am.
It was so thoughtful. It was just the loveliest thing. And the great thing about it was I didn't have to eat your baking.
I'm so bad at baking.
It's not that, like, here's what I think. It's not that you're bad at baking, because baking to some extent, if you're not, you know, just making it up as you go along, is just following a recipe very precisely.
But
you are generally hell-bent on trying to make some kind of healthy baking. And I don't think those things go together very well. You made, was that brownie you once made?
Oh, that was terrible.
Was it out of a prune?
It was no, it was sweet potato. It was terrible. It was terrible.
So it was lovely to be able to see the thoughtfulness and the time you put in, but not have to like put it in my mouth and pretend that I was enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that you'd enjoy that aspect. Yeah.
Yeah, it was truly wonderful. The other thing that happened is my friend Susie, she surprised me. I went for a bath in the afternoon, and then my son came running up and said, "There's a surprise." I went down to the front door, and Susie had basically come and put presents on the doorstep and then ran away by a few meters. So she was at the end of the path. And then we sat and chatted for a little while with me on the doorstep and her at the end of the path due to social distancing. And it was a really lovely, thoughtful thing to do.
That's so nice.
However, I am worried, what if one of the neighbours saw, and I've been reported to the police?
Well, I've heard about people doing this. I've heard of very similar situations, the police being called.
I think it's ridiculous.
You could be in prison.
I mean, I am personally keeping a chart of how many times each neighbour leaves the house every day and whether they've got shopping bags or whether they look like they're exercising. Like, I try and ascertain whether they seem slightly sweaty or breathless, and if they're not, I put a little mark down on my chart. I'll be submitting it as evidence to the local constabulary.
Maybe you could get off by exchanging that information for your freedom.
Some kind of plea bargain.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
I've become an informer. Yeah. Yeah, and I had a lovely day. Sarah made a real fuss of me. She let me watch one of my favourite films, which I know you love as well. It's a Swedish film called We Are the Best.
Oh, so good, yeah.
It's brilliant. It's just a joy. It's just like a lovely, funny, feel-good film about some teenagers in Stockholm in the early 80s who decide to form a punk band, and it's just great. And it's one of the best films about being a slightly weird teenager that you'll see. I love that. And then she ordered me food from a nice restaurant, which was delivered. We started it the night before because I was working on the night of my birthday. And then she had donuts delivered the next day, cheese delivered later in the morning. It was largely food-based. My son sang to me. He picked me some flowers. It was it was a good birthday.
Good.
You know, despite everything. So thank you to the odd drifters who did sort of get in touch on Twitter. And if you didn't, don't feel guilty about it, because as I say, I didn't change the settings on my public Facebook so that I could be inundated. I'll remember for next year, because it's, you know, it's something you must do ahead of your birthday. Change your privacy settings so you'll be inundated with good wishes from people.
Unless you're me.
Yeah, unless you're you. That's so weird. Can I tell you a slightly depressing thing that happened this week?
Yeah, go on.
I've just said some nice things. I'll tell you something depressing.
Okay.
So my son is really into a Disney program called The Lion Guard.
Okay.
It's a spin-off of The Lion King, and it follows the adventures of Kion, who is the son of Simba from The Lion King, so it's the next generation, and his assembled friends who guard the Pride Lands. There are five of them in total. Kion, the lion. Mm-hmm. Fuli, who is a cheetah, she's the fastest. Bunga is a honey badger, he's the bravest and the funniest. Beshti is a hippo, and he's the strongest. And Ono is a bird, and I don't know if it's he or she, but he or she can see for miles and miles. So my son loves this show so much that he's talking about it all the time, and he wants to play in our family the Lion Guard, with each of us being a different character.
Okay. Yeah.
So there are three of us and five of them.
Right.
So he says, "Mummy, Daddy, let's be the Lion Guard. I'm going to be Fuli, the cheetah. Daddy, you can be Beshti, the hippo. Mummy, you can be Ono, the bird." And then he says, and this is the depressing part.
Yeah.
"Daddy's phone can be Kion."
Daddy's phone? Like it's his brother or sister.
Yeah. And then mummy's phone can be the other one. I forgot. But it's like we must be on our phones so much that he sees them as members of the family.
Yes, yes. It's like pets or fellow siblings.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's so depressing, isn't it?
It's very depressing.
We'll be right back. Right, let's hear from some drifters. Thank you to you if you are taking time during lockdown to send us email. We really appreciate it. And of course, we'd really appreciate some more. If you haven't written to us yet and you've got a story that's haunting you, or maybe some awkwardness that's happened during lockdown, then we would love to hear from you. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
First one's from Nina. Like most drifters, I have been self-isolating for years. So I thought the current situation would suit me just fine. However, it has created levels of social anxiety that I have not experienced before. In the supermarket, in my NHS office job, when walking the dog, and the clap. Now, I know you both love it, and I completely understand the plethora of reasons that it is important and the sense of control and appreciation it gives people. But I have found myself dreading Thursday evenings. I want to do the clap, definitely, for my own reasons, but have found that the clap is not as important as the judgment from my neighbours. It's like the expectation and social verification of the clap has become more important than the reason for doing the clap. I made the mistake of cooking a lovely dinner I was looking forward to at 7:30 last Thursday, and as I sat down to eat it on the sofa, right in front of the window to the street, I was filled with anxiety. I don't want to do the clap tonight. I don't want to have to. Oh, I want my dinner. It's just a clap. This is my internal monologue. I wolfed down the dinner, anxiously looking over my shoulder. To draw the curtains would have been worse on so many levels. Then sat as tense as before a job interview, watching the clock in case time had altered and 8 p.m. had come earlier. 7:58 p.m. I don't have to do the clap. I could be strong and confident in my own reasons for not. 7:59. Tense and staring crazily out of the window. There are people out there. I run to the door, open it a crack, because public displays of emotion mortify me, but I need people to see that I am there. Long arms extended, clap clap. My face has no idea what to do because I'm caught between embarrassment, awkwardness, and the overwhelming need to cry hysterically. Same thing happens every Remembrance Sunday. I inadvertently made eye contact with a neighbour across the street and just gurned at her like I was off my face. How long do you clap? And why are people doing it facing the main road as if a parade of nurses and doctors are walking by in carnival wear? I shut the door and retreat to isolation. Suffice to say, in these strange times, I am exactly the same as ever. At once filled with unbearable compassion for my fellow humans and disliking and wanting to avoid them intensely. Business as usual.
I just want to say you would be entitled to go and stand in the middle of the road as somebody who works for the NHS and have people clap at you and whoop and cheer.
Yeah, you could take in the applause for yourself.
Oh, God, can you imagine? I mean, anything worse. I think if you're a drifter, you're the sort of person who feels uncomfortable when people are singing happy birthday to you. So, standing and taking applause, it's really... But that's what been one of the good thing about things about lockdown is the happy birthday songs have been few and far between and from, immediate family and you, really.
Mm-mm, yes.
Haven't had to stand while multiple people sing it, which is good. We've had it a couple of times during the clap where a passerby has been going to the corner shop. And and it feels like you're applauding them.
Oh, no.
I think you should just stay still during the clap. I don't think you should carry on walking.
Okay.
All right.
This is from Andy. Last summer, I went to the Edinburgh Festival with my wife and son. We decided we would stop in Berwick-upon-Tweed for a night on the way to break up the journey from West Yorkshire. Berwick is
Break up the journey. This is not a long journey. Sorry, no judgment. It's not like the travelling from Cornwall to Edinburgh.
Yeah, but it's going to take a few hours, isn't it? You're right. It doesn't necessarily warrant an overnight stay, but perhaps they wanted to go there. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a lovely place.
Yeah. So Andy goes on. Berwick is notable for being the northernmost town in England. Its English football team famously plays in the Scottish League. Indeed, it is so close to the Scottish border that for 400 years, the English and Scots fought over it, and it was part of Scotland a number of times. However, it has been an English town since 1482. I knew all this about Berwick because I'd read up on it before we set off. So, just to be clear, Berwick is in England, has been for hundreds of years, and I am very aware that it is in England. We booked a small B&B. I was apprehensive, as a B&B usually entails an owner who likes to chat with the guests. But I thought, I'm here with the wife, who is good with that kind of thing. I'll let her do all the talking. The weather when we arrived was terrible. A gale was blowing and the rain was horizontal. My wife and son made a run for the door of the B&B while I grabbed a bag from the boot. Once I struggled through the lashing downpour and made it inside, I found the middle-aged married couple who owned it standing in the hall in genial conversation with my wife. "This is my husband Andy," said my wife. The couple gave me a warm smile. "Hello, hello, nice to meet you," they said in unison. This kind of welcoming committee makes me anxious, but I knew what I had to do. Be personable, full of bonhomie and open to small talk. So all the things that I'm not. I could do this though. It was just a simple greeting. Respond with a similarly simple greeting. What did I do after all my research into the town? Say, "Good Scottish weather out there." The smile just about remained on their faces, but I could see in their eyes that they were thinking, what an idiot. He does know he's still in England, doesn't he? After 2 seconds of silence that felt like an hour, they returned to talking to my wife. With head bowed, I pretended that I needed something else from the car and trudged back out into the rain.
If I was a bit quiet during that one, just checking up, like 4 hour drive, 3 hours on the train.
You weren't checking it. You weren't. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's assuming it's Leeds in West Yorkshire. But.
And are you saying they're allowed an overnight stay or not?
I don't think it warrants it, but I mean, you know, a nice place to stay.
Okay. Yeah, glad I've got that cleared there. Up.
Yeah. All right, Annabelle, let's have another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult.
The lockdown weeks, months, years. Now, I've spoken before about my notes on the front door. I'm sure you remember about the scrappy notes.
I've seen them.
Beautiful, aren't they? So basically, it's because the dog barks.
You know, you're probably lowering property prices in your street just by these notes that you sellotape to your front door.
I'm well aware of this, yes. Right. But I've got a reason for it. So if the dog barks, if someone knocks on the door or if something comes to the letterbox, that wakes up our two-year-old if he's napping. So, but if I put a bit of paper torn out from a notebook with no leaflets written in biro on it and sellotape to the letterbox that is now faded and peeling, you know, that stops that happening. And when Rudy has a knock, a sign similar in appearance goes on the door with the words, "Please don't knock, parcel on doorstep, thank you." So if there's some kind of delivery, they can just leave it on the doorstep, they don't have to knock, dog doesn't bark.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one good thing, and this is probably the only good thing about lockdown, is that the first time ever, I've noticed a few other people having scrappy notes taped to their doors, like it's usually if they're self-isolating. But it's made me feel less alone and ashamed of my notes.
I've gaffer taped over our doorbell.
Oh, have you? That's a good idea.
Because it's you know, as you know, it has a mind of its own, and sometimes it works, other times it doesn't work.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, when you're having parcels delivered, I thought, why don't I just put gaffer tape over and people will know not to try?
And does that gaffer tape look nice, does it? Has anyone
No, it looks awful, but, you know, it probably prices. Looks marginally better than sellotaping a piece of paper to the window saying, "Bell broken, please knock."
Yeah, probably. Good point. Yeah. So this week, as per usual, when Rudy went down for his nap, the "please don't knock" sign went on the door. And it was particularly important this day because Tom had said that he was due to get a delivery of beer, which he claims was free apart from the delivery, and I've chosen to believe him.
Is it from Beer 52?
I think it is.
Right, he is right. Because we've had it as a sponsor on the other podcast, so I know a little bit about it, even though I don't drink.
And so it is free apart from the delivery.
Yeah, but then I think it's like one of these with a website where you sign up, and to sign up, it asks you for your credit card details. So you've got to remember to cancel.
Right.
So, you know, you must nag him about that.
No, that'll be us getting beer once a month then for the next 3 years. Right. Oh, incidentally, he mentioned that he'd won $3 million in his online poker. So I'm pretty sure he's telling the truth about it being virtual money. That's good news, isn't it? But if he does leave to go and live in luxury in the Bahamas once this lockdown is over, I'll know that he was lying. Anyway, sorry. Half an hour into Rudy's two-hour nap, there is a very loud, firm, repeated knock at the door. Rusty goes mad. The dog goes mad. Rudy wakes up. I look out of the window. There is a parcel of beer that's been left on the doorstep, and I am very angry about this. And I go outside after a short time to go and get it, and I see my next-door neighbour, who's a guy, he's Scottish, he's got a shaved head and he's former military. And he says, "You're right." And I launch into an angry, foul-mouthed tirade about how the sign clearly says, "Please don't knock." And yet the delivery person knocked and now Rudy is awake. And I'm going on and on about it. And then I start to become aware of Eddie looking uncomfortably to his right. And then I hear a different voice saying, "Sorry, is there a problem?" And I look to the source of the voice and it's a man in a fluorescent tabard. It's a delivery man who's heard every word of me bad-mouthing him. And these delivery guys, like, they are key workers. Like, they're
someone who's
helping to keep everyone going. They're probably doing long hours and not much money. So I have to backtrack, like, painfully with a, "Oh, no, so sorry. It's just that the sign says don't knock and the baby woke up. I'm so sorry. It's not a problem, blah, blah, blah." And then he apologises and said that he read it as "please knock" as he's really tired. You know, fair enough. And it was just awful. It was terrible. And now I can't ever order anything online ever again, as I can't risk ever seeing him again. And then it got worse because he went away. And then my neighbour turned back to me and said, "You know, I could print you out a sign. I'll do you a nice one and I'll get it laminated for you." Which says only one thing to me, that all my neighbours talk about my terrible scrappy door sign behind my back. And he has seized upon the chance to do something about it. And I feel nothing but terrible shame. But I am quite looking forward to my laminated sign.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
On a similar note to what you're just talking about, help me settle a little marital dispute.
Oh, okay, good. Go on.
Do you think now, lockdown, is an appropriate time to be ordering from, let's say, Amazon, a new bin for the front yard?
I don't have a massive issue with it. My only issue is financial. Like, if I'm thinking if Tom did it, I'd be thinking that's a waste of money. But what? Tell me what your issue with it is.
So my issue is as you were just saying, the delivery drivers are key workers at the moment, yeah. And they're doing really important work, getting food and things that people need, necessary items.
Okay.
And I just think, just because somebody, I don't want to name any names, thinks the bin in our front garden's a bit unsightly, I think maybe the thing to do is wait until after lockdown. It's not broken, it's not leaking, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, a bit of a mess. I think the thing to do is to wait until after lockdown before you take up a huge amount of space in a van and time in somebody's day of delivery slots having a new bin delivered. But I'm open-minded.
How often, seeing as you're inside most of the time, how often are you even looking at it? Like, it's not the time in your life when you're going to be seeing it very much.
This is true. Mm. I mean, yeah.
But I'm guessing that you lost this argument and you've now got a new bin.
No. It's ongoing. So I'll use this as evidence to support support my claim. Mm. I was going to have not got much to talk about this week because of, you know, not very much has happened with the social distancing. But so I was going to do a couple of recommendations, if you like. Mm. The first one is a book that is terrific. And I really recommend it. It's a very interesting subject. It's a book about the Beatles, the band.
Okay.
And I find the subject quite interesting, actually.
Well, we know, don't worry. Yeah. One thing I've learned about you is you like the Beatles.
So I'm sitting in my loft at the moment, and I'm currently looking at, I mean, hundreds of books about the Beatles. So I'm at a point generally, whereas if a new one comes out, which is just, you know, another biography of some sort, I tend not to buy it unless it's by somebody I know to be a brilliant Beatles historian like Mark Lewisohn, or it's a very, very, it's about a very specific aspect of them. However, this is a general book about the Beatles. I wasn't going to get it. Then I saw a couple of people enthusing about it on Twitter, including Dan Schreiber, who is one of the QI elves from the No Such Thing as a Fish podcast. So I sent him a message, because I know he's obsessive like me, sent him a message saying, is this book really for people like us? He says, no, honestly, you've got to get it. I'll tell you more. I'm just a little bit otherwise engaged at the moment. It then turned out his wife had gone into labor and he never wrote me back, which I'm feeling quite aggrieved about. but I ordered this book on his recommendation, and it's tremendous. It's a guy called Craig Brown. You might well know his name. He's a satirist. He's written for Private Eye for a long time. He wrote what I understand to be an excellent book about Princess Margaret a few years ago.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, which I'm quite keen to get off the back of this. Mm. And what it is it's the story of the Beatles, but it's told through little moments. So in other words, like a lot about their impact or who they were. And a lot of it's old stories to me, but the way that he takes tiny moments in their lives and extrapolates big wider points about them and their history and what they became is just brilliant. It's so good. And not only that, the writing is tremendous, and it's really funny as well in its way. I can't recommend it highly enough. I would recommend it to you if you are just somebody who feels, oh yeah, the Beatles, they're a force for good in the world, but I don't need to have three shelves full of books about them. This would be a great one for you to just have one book about the Beatles. Okay. And if you're crazy about them like me, then it's just a joy to read. It is an absolute joy. So that's my first recommendation. And my second one is Unorthodox. Have you watched this?
No, it's on Netflix, isn't it? It's on my list.
It's so good.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, so it's about a woman who grows up in the Hasidic community in Williamsburg in New York and decides she's got to get out, and, you know, so the story unfolds. And it's very, very good. And then yesterday, when we were on our state-mandated walk, we were walking in the park in very close to us, and I would say, like most people you see on the streets around there, are from that community. Hmm. So what then became interesting to me is, because I think that community, they consume media in a different way. They go to different types of schools when the schools are open. To some extent, they sort of isolate and live quite separately. I wonder if they know that everybody like me who's walking past them on the street is like all of a sudden really interested in their world and their life, or if they've got no idea that this Netflix hit is taking the world by storm. So anyway, I really recommend it. It's really good drama. Have you watched anything?
Oh, have you seen Quiz?
No, I watched half of an episode because I was interviewing the writer on BBC Radio 5 Live, and I loved it. I've just got to get back to it.
So, so, so good. And I'm thinking, did he do it? Didn't he do it? And that's all I think about, whether he did it or not. They did
it. And the guy, this is about the coughing major on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, sort of 15, 20 years ago, and if you remember that. And it is one of these things. It's like a lockdown sensation, isn't it? Everybody is talking about it. Mm. It's Shiv's husband from Succession.
Yes.
Who plays Charles Ingham. Mm-hmm. Fleabag's sister plays his wife.
Yeah.
And Michael Sheen plays Chris Tarrant.
Oh, he's so good. I loved it.
Mm. Do you remember John Ronson writing a piece about it?
Oh, I definitely read it at the time. Yeah.
Oh, it was so funny. I wonder if that is worth going back and reading. When I interviewed James Graham, the writer of it, he says, you know, he remembers reading John's thing at the time, and probably on some level that was an inspiration for, you know, how it could become a drama. But I'm really looking forward to getting stuck into that.
Yes, good. Very good.
Well, look at us with our lockdown recommendations.
Yeah, no, we're practically TV reviewers now and book reviewers.
Time now for suggestions from Snarebrook, Snaresbrook.
Oh, yes, that's what we're calling it.
And Quandary Corner at the Glap Clinic in Problematic at my end. Any social dilemmas, any behaviours you need clarification on, then you can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Ed writes, I am still working, office job, working from home at the moment and not liking it. And I have an issue with email etiquette. In these times, what is best? Examples I have used. Hope all well in these strange times. Hope all good with you. How are you doing? And various permutations of the above. I have also used, and I hate myself as a piece of my soul caves in, how's tricks? To be fair, this was someone I have a good relationship with, but felt inappropriate as soon as I clicked the send button. Any advice? Some background. A lot of the people I deal with are trying to hang in there. Others have furloughed staff. Anyway, any advice from fellow drifters appreciated. Look after yourself. Oh, and he says, and a 2 meter virtual hug to you both. Okay, so I'm not into hugging those I'd ever met, but different times.
Well, so, his go on.
Yeah, just that I was just going to summarise that. How are we supposed to deal with starting emails in these strange, turbulent, difficult times?
So I've just been writing, hope you're all coping okay.
And you use that for every single thing, that's so you don't have to think every time.
Pretty much.
You've got a template. Okay.
Just as an aside, do you use Gmail?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Have you got it on where it will suggest things for you as you're typing?
Oh, I didn't know you could turn it off, but I have got it on.
Yeah, then, so yes. I've got it on. I don't know if you can turn it off or not. But I was writing an email the other day and it suggested the subject line. As far as I can tell, apropos of nothing. Still need a gig.
What? That doesn't even make sense.
I mean, it is true.
Still need a gig. Yeah. Wow, how bizarre.
Yeah, I know.
I've never had it suggest a subject line before. You struggle with them a bit.
Oh, I do. I hate the subject lines so much.
They're annoying.
Yeah.
Why do they need a subject line?
I know.
And emails don't need a title. Letters don't have a title, do
they? No, you don't write a subject on the outside of a letter.
No.
You just open a letter and then you... Anyway, let's get back to this. So I've seen people being snooty online on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, saying, oh, what's with all these people saying, hope you're okay in these strange times or whatever. Mm. And basically, my feeling is people are just trying to be nice.
I don't like it when people don't acknowledge it. I feel like, why are you not acknowledging like this, the hardest time in many people's lives? Like, why are you ignoring it? I find it weird.
I think sort of generally whatever you write is fine because you're just trying your best in unprecedented weird days, so it's fine. And if somebody wants to be snooty about it, that's their problem. Okay. With the possible exception of house tricks. With the possible exception of house tricks.
Oh, house tricks. What do you mean?
Well, isn't that what he says? You've just read it to me in an email, Annabelle.
House tricks. Oh, house tricks. Sorry, I thought you were saying. Oh my god. I thought you were saying the German name, Haus Tricks, like it was a German name, like a person. Haus Tricks, sorry, yes, Haus Tricks, yes. Are you worried about me?
I'll let that one go because of the whole marshmallow incident last week where I sort of humiliated myself, so I'll let it go.
I do feel that the marshmallow thing is probably better than me hearing Haus Tricks as Haus Tricks. Anyway. Okay, should we move on from this one then and pretend it never happened? Okay, this is
Howes even a name?
No, probably not. Carry on.
You're thinking of Hans.
I know. Forget I ever said it. Pretend it never happened. Okay, April says, we moved into our house a year ago. Being a drifter, I still do not know my neighbours all that well. I have waved at a few people as I was outside and they walked by, but that is about it. About 2 weeks ago, my daughter and I were outside doing some yard work. My daughter was using a shovel to dig up the tall grass bush things around the mailbox. She was doing a decent job, but it was going slow. All of a sudden, a guy walks up with a tool, which my son told me is a pick mattock, and told my daughter that it should be easier than the shovel. He leaned it up against the mailbox and walked away. Watching him leave, we found out that he is our neighbour who may live two houses down. He didn't go in his house, he jumped on a bike and rode away. We used the mattock to pull up the rest of the grass and then to pull up some stuff in the flower bed close to the house. We then cleaned the tool and now have no clue how to return it. It is currently sitting in our house close to the door. I saw the guy once since but didn't say anything. Like I said, we're not even really sure where he lives. It might be two houses down or three. How do we get his tool back so he doesn't think we're just keeping it?
What are your thoughts on this?
It's very tricky. See, what I would be tempted to do is just leave it outside until he comes and gets it himself. But that doesn't feel very neighbourly, does it?
It also risks somebody else taking it.
Of course, yeah. You could go and knock on. Could you ask somebody?
I think we're stumbling towards something here, aren't we? In the dark.
But that's difficult because it involves having to knock on someone else's door, and these are weird times to have to do that. You could parade up and down. No, that's not right.
I've got an idea.
Okay.
You phone the police.
Right.
You say there's been a flasher.
Right.
You give a description of the flasher that fits to the description of the man. Then you sort of sit in your window and wait for the police to turn up at his house.
Okay, well, that's that solved then. I hope that's okay for you, April.
Podication time. This comes from Marie, who says, "Dear Annabelle and Jeff, hope you're both well. Please, can I request podication for myself as a reward for finally signing up to Patreon?" Oh, Marie, thank you. Yeah, tough times. Tom's not even got any pro bono work, has he?
No, he did do. He did a pro bono job for my sister.
Oh, did he? So, yeah. Well, at least there's that.
Yeah.
To keep me going.
Yeah, the pro bono, yeah.
After it being on my to-do list for well over a year, and for finally sending you this email, it's being on my to-do list for 5 years. I started listening to your old radio show casually when I started driving, aged 25, in 2014. In August of that year, Robin Williams tragically took his own life, and the next evening, Jeff talked about this sad event, as well as suicide and mental health in general. And that 10 minutes of radio has stayed with me ever since. It felt totally genuine and heartfelt and quite impromptu. The tone wasn't in keeping with anything I'd normally heard on that radio station, so it really took me by surprise, and I'm sure I wasn't the only listener welling up by the end. I remember how, as Jeff was coming to the end of what he wanted to say, it felt like he suddenly remembered that he was live on the radio, and it became all awkward and embarrassed. You could hear his cheeks going red across the airwaves. I planned to email in the next morning to say thank you for having the balls to be so honest and using that platform to talk about something that so desperately needs talking about. I've just listened to the AMA episode and I know I've missed the boat, but if I could ask you anything, it would be whether you guys remember Jeff giving that little speech, how planned it was, and whether many, brackets, more organised and decisive people than me, mentioned it to you afterwards. I hope they did, because naturally the next day came and went without me sending you a thing. No, I mean, it was all written for me, that, really.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
We sort of ran it by a focus group.
No, we just, you know, just
kept in the bits which press people's buttons. No, it was a funny one. It was a weird day, you know. It was very sad, but I'd also seen and heard a lot of people talking about how he was this genius, and having, you know, that kind of depression or that kind of darkness to him was the other side of having the genius. And I didn't think that was a very good way to talk about mental health, because it's a thing that affects everybody. And I just started talking about it, and all of a sudden it was 15 minutes later, or however long it went on for, probably too long for commercial radio. Like, it's probably somebody downstairs was screaming, play a record. But
so you started talking, but you didn't it wasn't planned.
Like, no, because you know what I'm like. I like to have an idea of what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of a beginning, middle, and an end usually. But no, I just didn't.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Ooh. And I tried to think about it and I couldn't. But I felt like it was what we did on that show so often was reflect what was going on the day as well as what was going on with us. Mm. So I just started talking about it. But all I remember really was we were in a different studio to the one we usually use. We were more all cramped together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started talking, and as I said, it sort of went on and it went on and went on, and I felt like I was being very personal. And I don't know if I had my eyes closed, or I certainly wasn't making eye contact particularly. And then as I came to the end of it, I don't know, it was sort of before or after I'd switched the microphones off, I felt like intensely embarrassed.
No.
That I was in a room with like you and Gareth, our old producer, who were, you know, both people I love, you know, you're like family to me. But at the same time, it felt too personal to have been saying those things, really. I just felt like a humiliated myself in some way, really.
So we've never spoken about this. This is so interesting. So my memory of it is that what you said was really important and like really beautifully articulated, and I had no idea you were going to do it at all. And I remember being stunned, because you've never done like she says, like you've never done anything like that before, and you never said anything even serious before. And I kept thinking, where is this going? Where is this going? And I had no idea that you didn't know where it was going either. And I think I started to panic, like, because there's nothing I could say, because I'm not good at serious stuff, and certainly not good if I haven't got anything planned. And then at the end, I think when you finish, you said something like, have you got anything to add, or something like that? And I didn't know what to say. And I think lots of people have been tweeting and emailing in and texting in, and like overwhelming, like 100% positive.
Yeah.
Like people found it so moving and important, and they were so glad you'd said it. And one person had said this, you know, you've got to give this guy a round of applause. So I said, well, I've got nothing to say. I'm just going to clap. And honestly, like, I had sleepless nights for weeks, and sometimes I still like cringe with embarrassment that I did that. Like, I'm mortified.
Oh, how funny. So in a way, that's a drifter moment to you.
Yes, yeah. And we both had it, and neither of us knew that the other one felt so mortified by it.
How funny.
Oh, God.
I remember once being with you on a New Year's Eve, and somebody in the group had said, oh, why don't we all, like, say sincere, nice things about each other.
Mm.
And, like, I remember feeling about as uncomfortable after the Robin Williams thing as I had done on that New Year's Eve, where we all had to say sincere, nice things to each other.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, but it was, it was a funny one, that, because, you know, I think with the radio show, like, I know some people really liked it, but I think for most people it was just a thing on in the background while they were doing other things. And, you know, either they'd dip in and out of what we were saying, or they'd just be thinking, oh, play another record. And then, you know, I remember coming off air that night and looking at social media, Twitter and Facebook. And I had an email as well, actually, hundreds, I think, of messages from people who had, you know, their own stories about their own mental health, and for whatever reason, just talking about it in that way had meant something to them, and just feeling a little like it was all a little bit too much for me, which as regular listeners will know, I don't get like that very often. So, you know, it was really the way that people were so open and shared their own stories was, you know, it was one of my great, when I think about all the years I did radio for and still do radio a bit, it was like one of the most memorable days, I think. But I wouldn't really like to hear myself speaking again. Like I say, it wasn't very well planned, and I'm sure if I listened to it so now, I'd think, oh god, you're so inarticulate.
Well, how interesting that Marie says, like, said, do you remember it, when actually it's one of your most memorable moments. And yeah, I remember it very, very well too.
Yeah, so there you go, there's your answer to that. Thank you for mentioning it. I think you said, was I really never ever say anything serious on the radio up until that day?
From memory, yeah. It was the only time you've ever been serious. Like, it'd always have a funny ending, and I kept thinking, how is he going to get a funny ending out of this? There's nothing to say.
What about like the day after 7/7 or something?
I don't think we were on the radio that day.
No, were we? We were doing a breakfast show. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, then.
There must have been other days.
You're right.
Like all those years, that can't have been the only time I ever said anything with any sort of degree of humanity or compassion.
No. I didn't mean it like that. It's the other, like, maybe it's the one that stands out for me then.
Right.
It's the only one I remember.
Oh, dear. Okay. Anyway, so that's the answer to your question. And then Marie continues. 4 months later on Christmas Eve, my best friend Steph also took her own life, aged just 26. Steph was by no means a drifter. She was probably the most outgoing, she was the most outgoing, sociable and naturally witty person I knew. And she was the life and soul of every party. As I imagine Robin Williams probably was too. Her death was a devastating shock that no one saw coming, and it floored me and the rest of her many friends and family. In the turbulent months that followed, I thought several times about finally sending you that email. As moving as I'd found Jeff's words at the time, they were suddenly so much more poignant now, especially as the thing you particularly addressed was the problematic stereotype of the tortured artist or genius, as well as how people found Robin Williams' death shocking because of his comedy and his extrovert personality, but that this persona can hide what's really going on inside. This all really resonated with me when I thought about Steph. And again, I wanted to say thank you for having talked about it and never got around to it. I'm really, you know, really sorry to hear that, and you know, humbled. It almost sounds like an insincere word to use, but you know, humbled that those words meant something to you, Marie. But yeah, I'm really sorry about Stefan. By the sounds of it, what an incredible person to have known and to have live on in you. Part of the reason I talked myself out of getting in touch was because I assumed that confident radio DJs on popular drive time shows don't need the drifterish likes of me telling them they're doing a good job. I was worried if I sent you a long gushing email like this one, you'd think I was a fangirl with a crush, or worse, a weird stalker with an obsession. It wasn't until I started listening to Adrift that I realised how reassuringly needy and self-conscious Jeff is, which made me think that A, being so open about mental health on the radio must have taken more balls than I thought, and B, Jeff would probably appreciate a gushing email, even if it was from a crushing fangirl or especially an obsessed stalker. I'm happy to say that I'm neither of those things. In fact, just a fellow drifter. Yeah, that's funny. I always like feel that a lot of what we did on the radio was just a version of what we do here on the podcast. We just wear it on our sleeves a bit more on the podcast, don't we?
Yeah.
But on, you know, on the radio show, especially when we did that late night show, I think we often talk about the screw ups that we were. But I think it's pretty much all we talk about on this podcast. So maybe
It's more condensed.
That's the distance. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I guess this podication is also for both of you. Thanks, Jeff, for that chat you gave about mental health, which you may not even remember, but was so meaningful to me. And thanks to you both for Adrift. It is a little dose of laughter and moral support in every week. Annabelle, the ways in which you are not a fully functioning adult are especially comforting and identifiable. Let's hear from Maria about whether she's got any nice handwritten signs sellotape to her house. She finishes by saying, I'd also like to send out a bit of love for my friend Steph and to anyone who's struggling with depression, anxiety or grief. Life can be unbearable, but remember you're not alone and never underestimate the power of talking to someone, no matter how undrifter-like it might seem. For me, it's turned my life around. I can especially recommend the Samaritan's Helpline as a good starting point, particularly if going somewhere to get help face-to-face seems daunting, as it did for me at first. Okay. Long and gushing email over. I hope you don't mind me getting into all that stuff in a podication. Much love to the Drifterhood. Marie, thank you. That was, you know, an interesting thing to talk about. I'm not sure it would have ever come up otherwise, but yeah, it was sort of interesting to think about it again and also to hear from you. And thank you for writing that. That's those emails do mean a lot. So thank you. So there we go. What do you think, Annabelle? Round of applause?
please don't remind me again. Oh.
You've got to let that go. You've got to let that go.
I have.
If you would like a podication, then please email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.